أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والمحصنات من النساء إلا ما ملكت أيمانكم كتاب الله عليكم وأحل لكم ما وراء ذلكم أن تبتغوا بأموالكم محصنين غير مسافحين فما استمتعتم به منهن فآتوهن أجورهن فريضة ولا جناح عليكم فيما تراضيتم به من بعد الفريضة إن الله كان عليما حكيما صدق الله العظيم. To continue with ayah number 24 of Surah An-Nisa, the beginning of the fifth juz or the para of the Quran Sharif. This ayah actually is a continuation of the hukam, the command in the previous ayah, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had discussed some of those women that are haram upon men. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. And forbidden upon you are the women who are married, who have husbands. So they are married in the nikah of someone else. So hence a person cannot marry an already married woman. Of course, if there is, Allah forbid, some divorce that takes place, or for that matter, she becomes a widow, then after the iddat, that marriage can take place with her. Illa ma malakat aymanukum. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes one exclusion, and Allah ta'ala says, besides those women whom your hands own. Here specifically, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is speaking about a particular woman in a particular context. That if there is a jihad that takes place against the disbelievers, and then some women have been brought as prisoners of war, they could have been married previously to their husbands in the place of war, what is termed as Darul Harb, that locality or that area that has declared war against the Islamic State, against the Islamic Hukumat. So they have come now into the ownership of the Muslim Hukumat, and then the Amirul Mu'mineen or the Sultan can make a decision. One decision will be that these women can now get married to whoever, or he can make a decision that they would remain slaves. So in that case, the previous nikah breaks off completely, and now after a waiting period of 1 monthly course of a woman, they will be now be able to marry Muslim men. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes this the exclusion. Kitab Allahi alaykum. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is the prescription, the command of Allah ta'ala that has been prescribed upon you. There is no one that can alter this rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one that can change it. There is no one that can make any amendments to it. All of it is now the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is enshrined in this kitab, in the Quran Sharif, and will remain forever and ever till the day of Qiyamah. وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, besides these women, then all other women are halal for you. That is obviously from the beginning of the previous verse. أَن تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. So that you search for them. Search for them means in nikah, that you marry them with your wealth. In other words, you will have to give something that has got value to them insofar as the mehr is concerned. مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, searching chastity. That one of your objectives of your marriage will be that you are searching for chastity, you want to fortify your chastity, then enter into the marriage, غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ, without any form of illicit intentions whatsoever. فَمَا اسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ فَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً. Now when a man and a woman enters into the contract of a nikah, there will be the mehr that has been discussed between the two parties, the bride and the bridegroom, or the wakil of the bride, whoever it may be. Now when a person takes her into his marriage, and then he consummates his marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then if you have derived any benefit from them by way of consummation, فَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ فَرِيضًا, then give them the mahr as it has been prescribed between you and your spouse. It has been discussed, so fulfill it. It is a very indecent thing for a person to do, that he has already fixed a mahr with his wife. At the time of the nikah, he gives portion or he gives nothing, and then thereafter he doesn't pay it back ever until they leave this world. So that is a very indecent thing that a person has done. He needs to fulfill it. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is that he fulfill it, especially after he had consummated the marriage. وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا تَرَضَيْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْفَرِيضَةِ, and there is no blame, no sin upon you in some mutual agreement that you had reached after it has been apportioned, after the mehr has been fixed. For example, the husband fixed an amount and now he wants to increase it. There is no rule that will stop him from doing it. He should do it. It will be good for him. Or for that matter, the woman had stipulated an amount and now she drops a portion of it. She forgives it. It is good for her. In other words, there is no blame. There is no sin in the Shariat if that is done. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is all-knowing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most wise. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these two qualities to remind us that in many of the instances with regards to the rules of the Shariat, we may not understand the wisdom behind it. We may not understand everything behind it, but of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His knowledge, Allah ta'ala knows the psychology of insan, Allah ta'ala knows dangers that lie ahead of us and all of that. And in view of all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought about these rules and these laws in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the knowledge of Allah Rabbul Izzat. For us is to accept these rules and regulations, the do's and the don'ts of Islam, and continue in the obedience of Allah Rabbul Izzat. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.